Well, Josh, let's talk about the day yesterday. I mean, a day that could be a really, really big day for not just the future, but for the history of the Valley City school system. I mean, let's keep in mind that the current high school was built in 1919. So we've gone to high school in the same spot in Valley City for 106 years. And so just to approach that before we even get into the nuts and bolts of the recommendation, that's big to alter something that's been over a century going on. I mean, that's a big step for a community like ours.
It is, absolutely. Yep, I think you just said it exactly. Perfect. And we know, we recognize, we appreciate in Valley City the historical buildings that we do have. And actually, Ryan, I've had some fun conversations with the individuals over the last months here as well. When you look at the history of Valley City, one of the first original school buildings actually was in the same location of where the hack is now back in the 1800s. You talk about Ritchie 1 and Ritchie 2. There was other buildings in there as well. 1919 was built for $200,000 back in the day. And then you, of course, had the additions of the 40s, the 50s, the 70s, the 90s cafeteria that was added on. You know, I don't know if you were part of it, Ryan, or not, but students used to walk across Central Avenue here to the district building for lunch. And then the rumor has it that a student was hit by a car. So the city, the school, ended up building the cafeteria in 92. And then, of course, we added the hack onto that as well. And that's not talking about Washington, which was built in the 50s, and then Jefferson, which was built in the 60s. And so there is a proud history in this community of schools, of updating schools, and I think we're at a critical point, like you just said, where the committee has brought forth a recommendation to do some updates, and the board received that recommendation, unanimously approved, calling for that referendum, and I think that the important part, both from the committee and the school board, to really emphasize is they wanted that decision ultimately to get back to the citizens of the school district and for them to have that voice. And we know that voice, it can be loud, can be clear, and that's through a vote on June 10th.
One thing to mention, though, and you brought up a little bit with the history here before we get into the specifics of this plan. Yes, the high school was built in 1919. Yes, it's been there for 106 years. And at the same time, it's not like changes haven't been made. College High has been closed. St. Catharines isn't high school anymore. I mean, there have been changes that have been made. It's not like changes don't happen. We get used to it, but at the same time, change is kind of inevitable, isn't it?
It is. You know, the location of some of those additions from the 40s and 50s, Ryan, I read an article from the late 60s, early 70s, provided by the Barnes County Museum to us, and that was they were seeking to modernize education, and so they demolished one of the Ritchie buildings in an effort to be able to add on to that 70s building. And so the conversation that we're talking about modernizing educational spaces is not nothing new in Valley City. To your point, you had College High, you had Lincoln Elementary that turned into Career Tech Center, and so it's kind of evolved over the years, like you said. And I think that's the question right now that the school district, the committee is asking the citizens is, you know, is this the opportunity, the time right now that we got to modernize and look to also build efficiencies as our community is changing?
Now, before we get into what would be new, take us through the challenges that are faced with the current buildings, because, you know, there's a lot of different things that have come out regarding heating systems and the other types of maintenance that go in. But just to sort of nutshell it for us, what is it that led to this committee having to come together? And what are the challenges that we face with the buildings that we have right now that led to this discussion path?
I would say, Ryan, that is the number one question right now that people are asking, and something that we will address in the public meetings. We have addressed going back to 2021. We're seeing that on social media, the reaction yesterday as well is you referenced the deferred maintenance, and deferred maintenance being maintenance needs that are existing that haven't been addressed. And I think to that point, let's talk about first how we went about addressing those and then why they haven't been addressed. And I can speak to the last 9 years, almost 10 years, during my time here. I can speculate prior to that as well. So 2021, we did a capital study. What that means is we bring the experts in, those that are in the industry, construction industry. They come in and they evaluate everything, every nook and cranny. They're looking at our HVAC systems. They look at plumbing. They look at electrical. And what they do at the end of that is they give us a report, and it's an estimate. And so they provided that estimate for us in the fall of 2021. We presented that to the community that fall when we were doing our public meetings. And then we updated that in January of 23, just again, simply based on an inflationary number because of COVID, because of just the volatile economy that was going on at that time. We put an escalator on that. And so that's where we came up with that $37 million number. And so specifically within that is number one is the HVAC systems. So when I first arrived in Valley City, the board and the superintendent prior, Dean Koppelman, they had done a specific study on the HVAC systems. And at that time, the cost was $6-7 million. So that was 2016. Frankly, the cost would have required the school district going forth with a referendum. The district has building fund dollars that we collect in tax levies every year. And this year, that's about $475,000. That's not enough dollars for us to be able to address $5 million or a $15 million now in those HVAC systems. And so part of the reasons why we defer that maintenance is because you have to have a public vote to be able to get enough dollars to be able to address that.
Okay.
And so in addition to that, we have roofing systems, we have the windows, we have the plumbing, we've had multiple leaks that have gone on. These are from the piping that's behind the walls. We have electrical issues. We have, again, the roofing is a big cost for the school district. A few other things that we've addressed and recognized as well is school safety and security. The standard is different than what it was 15, 20 years ago, Ryan, when we were in school, right? That the doors were open. That wasn't an issue. The offices were built in the central part of the school because that was the general location for easiest access for everybody. Well, schools these days and the expectations from our parents is that we know who is coming in and coming out of our buildings. And so that's why schools build the offices at the front part of the school. ADA is a big topic of conversation at our school. The high school is built on a hill. And so they're 16 feet from the hack to the north office of the senior high building. And so as a result of that, there's a lot of different levels. In fact, 21 different levels across that building. And so we have lifts, we have elevators, but the reality of it is, I just heard an alumni say the other day, going back all the way to the 90s, that his buddies would lift up his wheelchair and pick him up from one floor to another. Mm. And I'll tell you, Ryan, that still exists today. And you know, again, we could be updating lifts, we could be updating elevators, but there's costs associated with that. An elevator change is no less than $350,000. That's not chump change that the district has to consider.
That's nearly a year of your building fund levy. I mean, you mentioned that you get about $450,000 in your building fund levy. So just that one elevator would eat up, what, two-thirds, three-quarters of a year of tax receipts.
And that's just one elevator. That's not talking about the other three or four lifts that we would need to put into the school as well. And so that's the deferred maintenance, specifically addressing the high school and Washington and the Jefferson Elementary, the district building, have much less deferred maintenance. But those are the primary dollars. When you look at the high school, we're estimating about $25 million of the $37 million. Specifically in the 1940s, 1950s, and a portion of the 1971's building is that $25 million.
So I'm guessing when this committee came together at that point, and again, our guest this morning, Josh Johnson, superintendent of schools for the Valley City Public School District, and we're talking about the recommendations that were made by the facilities committee to the school board yesterday, getting some of the inside information on that. Josh, I'm going to assume then that when the committee came together and started its business, the conversation point started with, okay, we've got $37 million in deferred maintenance. Is it worth asking the public for $37 million to fix what we already have and start over? Or is it worth looking for a different alternative that takes a couple of buildings offline and makes us a bit more efficient at the same time? I mean, you're talking about a $46 million ask, which might not be 46, versus $37 million in deferred maintenance, which you know you already need. So that part of the conversation must have been somewhat easy to talk through.
That was the very first question. That was the first challenge that the committee had to address. And I'll also reference again that, and we'll share this information going back to 2021. That was the same question that was asked in 2021. We had another facilities committee that met in the spring of 23. That was the same question that they asked, and now this committee that started meeting in December and gave a recommendation on Tuesday night is what does ADA compliance look like in this building? Do we want to put $37 million of deferred maintenance needs, and how do we address that? Again, $37 million is not something that's going to be paid for out of a building fund. That would require a vote. And so very quickly, simplistically, the committee, looking at the capital maintenance needs, looking at the options of renovation, it was presented that it would be easier to be in ADA compliance by actually building a breezeway on the exterior part of the building than it would be to try to build one long ramp all the way through the middle of the building.
Mm.
And so between the cost and between the challenge of updating and modernizing 1919, 40s, and 50s, the committee said, okay, we fiscally responsible, the recommendation, we need to start looking forward and looking at replacement, not addressing the deferred maintenance.
All right. So the idea is born of a building that that joins to Jefferson School that would house 3rd through 12th graders, and that means that K-12 would be in one place. Now, I only have one question that's specific to the inner workings of academics in the building today, because I'm sure more of that will be fleshed out in the future. But in the past, Valley City made a choice to put schools together based on peer group. That's why Jefferson has been K-3, Washington's been 4-6, junior, senior high school even separated because there's a junior high school and a senior high school. There's some mixing and matching that goes on. But nonetheless, we made this decision to separate based on peer group. Now it's really one location, K-12. Do you do some things, and you've kind of already done some of that with maintaining Jefferson, but is there still value in keeping the wings of the school, if you will, separated by peer groups that we don't undo what we did when we made those decisions with Jefferson and Washington?
Great question. And so in this proposal, we'll look forward to talking about that in public meetings as well, as those concerns parents would have, right? Is my kindergartner going to be interacting with a senior?
Which isn't always bad. I mean, there's some positive that comes out of that, but it's better to keep them with kindergartners, right? So,
Yep. There's some concerns that are going to definitely, we're going to address relative to that. And so part of that is Jefferson Elementary, looking at that as a K-2 or a K-3 building as it is now, the 3 through 5 or 3 through 6 or 4 through 6 part of the new building, then making sure that area that those students are learning in is on a different floor than everybody else as well. Some of those common spaces, let's talk about a music area or a gymnasium, the commons area, cafeteria area, those are going to be a lot of where the crossover occurs. And I'm originally from Devil's Lake, so my education experience growing up was very similar to students in Valley City. Traditional elementary, went to a middle school before I went to the high school. Most recently, before I came to Valley City, I was in Oaks, and that was a connected K-12 building. And I'll tell you, I really appreciated, Ryan, the interaction that I saw and witnessed, and why I really appreciated the Class B kind of philosophy and mentality, is that I think when you have little kids, little students interacting, intermingled with older students, it actually requires our older kids to be more mature. They're the role models. They are the highliners. And so our little kids are admiring, looking up to. And I see it as so many opportunities and benefits not only to be able to have that role modeling and to be able to have just a walk down the hallway. We know that right now we have a teacher shortage in across the state, across the country. Well, think now how easy it would be for our pre-education students that are maybe interested in going to education to walk down the hallway and have that experience in a kindergarten classroom. Or, a senior student who has a free period who could walk down to a first grade room and read to a first grader. And so I see it as the positive of that. There's going to be some things that we're absolutely going to need to address, safety part of that, and that's those interactions in the school, but it's also the driving to and from school in around those areas. But again, I think there's an education piece of it. I think to your point is that Valley City has traditionally had the elementary schools and they've had the high school. And so we need to make sure we're listening and being responsive to those concerns from parents that are saying, how are you going to address and make sure that there's adequate supervision and that there's separation between those elementary and those secondary students? So great question.
Couple of additional questions and then we'll wrap it up for the day. First and foremost, the recommendation does state that you would wish to sell the current central administration building next to the library and then also Washington School, but maintain Sam's Field. And so going back to the price tag up to $46 million, are we right to assume that the sales of those two buildings, if the sales did take place, could that go to the ultimate price of building the new building, which would bring the price down on the bond of the taxpayers? Or do you have to approve one number and just live with that and put that money into an account of some kind?
Yeah, great question. And what we're going to say is right size. And so we want to, that vocabulary, we want to get people familiar with what we're referencing when we say right size. We know in Valley City right now that our community is changing. We have an older than average age population in Valley City. We know that for the last 3 years, our enrollment has been on the decline. And so as part of our proposals, one thing that the committee really seriously looked at is building efficiencies within our school district. And part of that is by the sheer number of buildings, school facilities that we're currently operating, is there's a lot of efficiencies that we would be able to capture if we went to a K-12 combined, and not only from a staffing standpoint, but from a utility, from an energy standpoint, from a maintenance standpoint as well. And so an example of that is we're going to look to reduce a total footprint of 60,000 square feet. Just to put that in perspective, that is two schools of size of Washington, approximately Washington Elementary School, which is 35,000 square feet. So total 60,000 square feet we're going to take off. That's no longer maintaining, and so reducing that. And again, by doing that, we would sell the district building. We would close and sell Washington Elementary School. We would look to demolish the 1919, the 1940s, and the 1950s portion of the high school that's tied into the HAC. And so right now, as part of the $46 million planning, is that we haven't taken into account what the close and what the sell of the district office in Washington would be. So to your point is that if we could sell those for $500,000 or $1 million, that would decrease that tax impact of $46 million. But I do want to say that we have taken into account and we've budgeted as part of the $46 million, that does include the demolition and some of the remodel that would be required to be able to get the hack and portions of that 91, 92, 70s, like an entrance as an example, the parking lot, that has been budgeted into the $46 million as well.
All right, and so then that might start to partially answer the next question, which is the future of the Highlander Activity Center. I noticed that there is space in the plans inside the new building for athletics, but I wasn't sure if that was a gymnasium that would be competition ready or that type of thing. Do you see in the long-term plan that games still take place at the Highlander Activity Center, or do you see varsity competition for volleyball, basketball, the things that we do indoors, to be at the new building?
Yeah, Ryan, you of all people in Valley City have the opportunity to be able to, when you're calling games, be able to travel all across the state of North Dakota and go to a lot of gymnasiums. And I'd like to believe that you as alumni have a sense of pride with the Highlander Activity Center. It is a beautiful facility. I think it's absolutely top-notch across the state. Am I wrong?
I just mentioned last hour that I did the last regular season game between Valley City and Kindred, and Kindred has a brand-new building, and I thought our gym was just better. And I'm not trying to throw shade at Kindred, but I just thought we had a better setup than they did. And they have a stage, and I still thought it was better. So I just thought I'd throw that out there, but yeah.
I took a risk asking that question. I know I'm not supposed to ask the interviewer that question, but I say that because that building was constructed in 2003, and there's a lot of pride, Highlander pride, in that building, in this community. It's used for all sorts of activities. There's hundreds of kids, actually probably thousands of kids, over the course of the year that come in there for dance, for wrestling, for volleyball tournaments, for basketball, for robotics. It is used, again, 12 months out of the year. And so we're so proud of that facility. And so enhancing that, that will still be the home of the Highlanders. So varsity competition, sub-varsity competition will still continue to be there. We'll still host community meetings in the Hack Lobby. We intend to still keep that cafeteria area. That could be expanded. That there's a full kitchen there. We're looking at the South Gymnasium, which was built in 71, 72. And so that could turn into some wrestling practice spaces in that area. The wrestling room would still be there. One thing, and I want to address it very straightforward, Ryan, is that we got to figure out something on what we're going to do with our theater department, theater program. They just had a play this last week. The kids just did a phenomenal job.
Sure.
In this play. They have at least two plays two times a year. And so we have to figure out a place in Valley City, whether that's partnering with VCSU or creating some space in a new school or creating some space in the Hack for our theater department as well. But we're still going to have concerts in the Hack. And so the new school would have two courts. The intent of that would be sub-varsity. And so, you know, K-3 students would be able to not have to have PE in their cafeteria playing on peas and carrots right after lunch, and that they would also be able to go over and have PE. So those two courts would be PE, K-12. The intent of that, again, would be sub-varsity, maybe some practices could be used by Park and Rec on the weekends, just expanding those tournaments that draw business into our community.
All right. Well, so the nutshell version here is June 10th is when you would seek to have the referendum. I believe if I followed this correctly, you've accepted – the school board, rather, has accepted the recommendations, but they still have to have a formal meeting to set June 10th as the referendum. Is that right?
They've done so, Ryan.
Okay, yep, they've done that.
They did so on Tuesday, yep, so they accepted that recommendation. They voted 5-0 to call for that referendum. And so between now and June 10th, 75 days between now and then, our task, our job, we are committed to is getting factual, transparent, timely information out to anyone, everyone, to make sure that all of our citizens of the school district have the information that they need to be able to make that informed vote. We will have absentee ballots that will go out to make sure that everybody has a chance to be able to vote. They don't have to come in specifically to the district office on June 10th, and we want to make sure that everybody votes. I believe when the Hack was voted on in 2003, I think there was 2,500 votes, and we know, again, the demographics of our community have changed, but I'm hoping that we can get the information out there and that voice will be loud, they'll be clear, and that we'll get more than 2,500 to show up to vote.
And I want to give you just one chance to send a message out here quickly before we wrap up. I mentioned in the first hour of the program that in times like this where we see other referendums going on, it's pretty easy to just say, if we're starting over, we're starting completely over. But when I saw this price tag of $46 million, and I'm not trying to tell anybody how to vote, but when I saw the price tag of $46 million and I saw that you're keeping Jefferson and working with that which you think still works, it's pretty obvious to me that in that 17-member group, there was a consciousness about the taxpayer's money. This wasn't an effort to just completely redo it with all the new bells and whistles. I mean, somebody could have tried to sneak in turf for Charlie Brown or whatever the case. I mean, there were things that could have been done. It seems like you were pretty strict on task about not spending anything that doesn't need to be spent. Am I right about that?
Yeah, you're right, Ryan, and that's absolutely right. And I think that's the power of having community representatives that serve on a committee like this. That's the same as our elected officials, board members. We have board members that are going to be significantly impacted if this passes on taxes. And so they're thinking very conscientiously relative to now, but they're thinking also down the road into the future. And so if not this, and we and the community says we want to address, we want to put money into our existing infrastructure, I just think it's important to recognize or to think about that, sure, you're going to address $37 million of deferred maintenance, kind of like a car and kind of like a house, that if you put that money into a building that's 1919, that's not going to address the aesthetics. That's not going to address the improvements that are going to be made. And so very likely that 20, 30 years from now, that you're going to be back in the same situation, and you're going to be thinking that maybe we back in 2025 considered anew because of again the addressing the deferred maintenance part of that. And so those are again the questions that are being asked. They're great questions. The tax impact is real, $46 million. The committee didn't take that lightly at all whatsoever. We know that it's going to have a significant impact. And so one of the questions we've been asked is, there is legislation that's currently going through the session is in regards to property tax relief. And how is that relief going to positively impact if it passes? We know that there was a constitutional measure that was put on the ballot last November. I think legislators heard loud and clear that citizens of North Dakota wanted property tax relief. And so how would that impact taxpayers as it relates relative to this project? And that information has got to be shared as well.
All right. Josh, thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate it. Obviously, more on this. You've got a quick turnaround, 75 days. I know we'll hear more from you in the future, but thanks for taking some time to flesh it out with us here this morning.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, KOVC. Thank you, I3G, for this opportunity to be able to share this information. And just please contact us, email, call, show up, stop at the district office here. Please get the information, show up to the public meetings, the Q&A sessions, check out our webpage, and please get the information.
All right.